What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast, a quarantine edition as we all battle against this coronavirus outbreak and do our best to stay at home. I am your host, Neil Horowitz. You can find me on Twitter, NJH287. Hit me up on LinkedIn as well. Visit the website, dsmsports.net, for more content episodes and check out the podcast and all those good podcast platforms. Awesome show for you guys today. I will let you know that this interview was taped before the onset of the COVID-19 crisis, so keep that in mind as I talk to today's guest. I'm joined on the podcast by Brad Friedman. He is a social media manager for Minor League Baseball. So much good insight from him, a lot of good stories, a lot of information and ideas. Just stick around for the interview with Brad because you're really going to enjoy it. He's a really smart and articulate guy. But before we get to the interview with Brad Friedman of Minor League Baseball, wanted to start off talking about all the great social media that we're seeing right now, all the great interaction and engagement that's taking place even as teams have no games to talk about, very few storylines to talk about, with maybe the exception of some NFL teams that are going through free agency right now. But just really the key takeaways that I'm starting to see is that, A, fans just want to engage. They want to do something to basically kill time. To exercise some of those emotions and those muscles that aren't being exercised when they are, you know, going through games, watching games on TV, doing their fantasy, doing their betting, going to games in person. And you're seeing the simplest things, whether it's, you know, Instagram questions, Instagram Live, or, you know, tweets that just say hi, or tweets that just say what's going on, or tweets that just say what are you doing right now, just take off with replies. Q&As are, you know, more popular than ever, it seems like, because people just want to submit, they want to engage, they want to feel some connection and some sort of, you know, live programming, live entertainment. Social media is becoming the place for that live content because sports on TV isn't providing it. Sports on any platform isn't providing it. So that you're starting to see that program on IG Live, people that are, you know, creating that scheduling, that scheduled programming and destination content. So it's YouTube shows, of course, are blowing up. Twitch is being used more than ever. TikTok is blowing up. It's just a fascinating thing to see. But ultimately, you know, fans want to feel like they are engaging. They have something to do, something to talk about. And participating is certainly a big key element that we're starting to see. That participatory element is finally playing out alongside the first screen, because the first screen is happening on social media right now. So really cool time. Where fans are, you know, bored, they are hopefully staying at home as much as possible so we can beat this thing, and they're looking to engage. So take advantage of that, have fun with it, create those debates, create that nostalgia, create that content, and hopefully you'll have some fun with your fans, and we'll get through this whole thing and, you know, be back to live sports and eventually down the road here. But stick around because we're going to talk about some sports with Brad Friedman of Minor League Baseball. Back from this episode's opening segment, and I am so psyched for today's guest, someone whose career I've been able to watch from afar for a little while now. He's been doing great things at Minor League Baseball for the last few years. I'm joined on the podcast today by Brad Friedman. He is the social media marketing manager for Minor League Baseball, and welcome to the podcast today, Brad.
Neil, great to be here. Great to be on and chatting with you.
So psyched to pick your brain. I mean, I am just blown away just by thinking about the fact that you oversee social and have to help manage the social media and you know, business for 160 teams. Just mind-blowing. So anxious to hear how that goes. Before we get into the meat of our discussion today, though, want to hear about you. Tell us about your career path, how you really worked your way up in this field and landed at Minor League Baseball, and any tips for folks that want to do what you do.
Sure. Well, I guess we start from the beginning, and in the most millennial way possible, my career in sports started with a tweet.
Hell yeah.
I was a sophomore at Ohio University, sitting in my dorm room looking for internships. I was a journalism major, but was starting to think about maybe shifting away from the kind of traditional journalism, traditional media. And I recognized that at the time, Rob Mixer, who head up the digital media team with the Columbus Blue Jackets, was a fellow Ohio University alumnus. So I got on Twitter, shot him a tweet, said, "Hey, Rob Mixer, OU kid here looking for an internship. What do you guys have?" He DMs me back 5 minutes later and says, "Yeah, send me your resume." A couple interviews later, and I landed my first digital marketing, social media internship in sports with the Blue Jackets.
What a great story that is. You gotta shoot your shot, right? And because it's hockey, we gotta use the Gretzky quote: "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take."
Exactly. Yeah. He could have very easily brushed me off and ignored it, or been in a meeting, or what have you. But by some stroke of fate, he saw the Ohio University connection, and we went from there. And when I was, with the Jackets, obviously a great opportunity, really cut my teeth, and really, had an amazing opportunity to work for my hometown team with the Blue mm-hmm. Jackets. And once I got to that summer, I realized, hey, this is a path I could see myself going down.
Yeah.
So I took that opportunity, now that my foot was solidly in the door, to network with as many folks in the industry I could find. I think, Neil, you were among that group. And so I would quite literally go through websites, finding communications folks, digital folks, social folks, marketing folks, anybody who I could find that would connect with me, and just start to build up that network. Yeah, mm-hmm. I have a big philosophy that you should network with people before you need something from them. So I took that to heart. So from there, left the Blue Jackets, went back to school, and parlayed that into another internship with the Columbus Crew Soccer Club.
Yep.
Again, just kind of worked network, asked around, and was able to snag a season-long internship there with the Crew. Wonderful year with MLS, love the fans, love the people, love the organization. We were fortunate enough to make the MLS Cup final that year. And really, again, it's a lot of great hands-on experience.
Yeah.
And really, really enjoyed my time with the Crew. So we go back to school, finish out my senior year, and so starting to look at post-grad options, internships, jobs, what have you. And the initial plan was to follow my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, follow her down to the Tampa Bay area so that she could pursue her master's degree at the University of South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at opportunities in the area. I was trying to get down here. And then lo and behold, Alex Streppo with the New Orleans Saints and Pelicans tweeted out an opening for a pair of year-long paid social media interns for both the Saints and Pelicans. And because I had connected with Alex when I was with the Blue Jackets and at least got on his radar, at least wasn't just a face in the crowd,
mm-hmm.
I shot him a DM on Twitter, said, hey, this looks like an amazing opportunity. I'm definitely going to be applying. And I'm pretty confident in saying at least that DM it took my resume from maybe the middle of the pile to the top of the pile,
yeah.
And at least secured me an interview. And then from there, I could go through the interview process and secure an internship. And I ended up working on the Saints side for a year. So, took a little pit stop on my way down to Florida, but it was off to New Orleans for a year. Another great year working with the Saints, crossover with the Pelicans in the NBA All-Star game. Really, really got a sense of just the magnitude of this industry and doing it day in, day out on a pretty much full-time basis.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot. I think I came in pretty raw there and really had to grow up a lot, but a really great opportunity and built me out to the person I am today. And all the while, still looking to get down to Florida for that cute brunette that I like a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around, almost got a job at the Tampa Bay Rays. That didn't come to fruition. And is actually, of all people, my mom found a job opening with Minor League Baseball's national office in St. Pete, which, A, I didn't know existed,
mm-hmm.
and B, if it had existed, I wouldn't have guessed it was in St. Petersburg, Florida, of all places. But they were looking for their first ever in-house social media professional, essentially. Everything had been run through Major League Baseball up until that point, but they wanted to start bringing that in-house. And, went through about 2 months of applications and interviews and flying out, and lo and behold, they saw something in a scrappy 22-year-old kid without a lot of experience, but they took a chance on me, and 3 years later, here we are.
Just so cool. I loved hearing that story. A lot of proactivity, a lot of thinking ahead, a lot of knowing what you want and what you can bring to the table, and I do, of course, want to jump into what an awesome opportunity it was to step into a brand new role at Minor League Baseball, kind of just be given the reins. But I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of that awesome experience you had along the way. I mean, first off, just taking a step back, and I know that you're aware of this, but you worked in hockey, in soccer, in football, got a little bit of basketball, and now baseball. Like, my goodness, you're like the Renaissance man. You're like the Bo Jackson of social media or something.
I love it. Something like that. I've been extremely blessed to be able to be given a lot of opportunities. I grew up a fan of sports. I think every single one of those teams and leagues and games really presents a new set of challenges and a new set of opportunities and new audiences. It really pushed me to think differently. The approach I take at minor league baseball is different than how I'd go about it with the Crew or the Blue Jackets. Every organization is in a different place and a different time, based on, and the objectives that we need to reach are so vastly different everywhere I go. And I think that's been the most fun part, is just getting a little taste of everything and being a part of so many different experiences. That doesn't get lost on me, how lucky I've been to get these opportunities and step into so many different arenas.
Yeah, well, you make your own break, so don't sell yourself short as well. And I know with the Blue Jackets in particular, when you were there, and still today, they were really cultivating that irreverent brand, like almost kind of what the LA Kings were doing, but taken to another level and having a ton of fun with their fans, almost too much fun at times, and firing the cannon at all times. So, like, was that interesting to get that exposure early on to such a very, I guess, irreverent, but also just informal and really speaking the fans' language, as opposed to being this, this more stuffy or, more really formal brand? Like, what did that teach you early on? And also, I guess, what were some of those lessons that you took away from each of those markets that you can now take to minor league baseball?
Sure. I learned the radical concept that your social media presence is a reflection of your brand identity. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been to a Columbus Blue Jackets game, it's fun. It's lively. It's energetic. You really feel it in your bones when the cannon goes off or the horn goes off when a goal is scored. And at their core, the Blue Jackets are top-tier professional entertainment product. And when you're thinking about a kind of tonality you want to implement on social media, your tonality should reflect who you are. And that goes for sports properties and any kind of brand. Mm-hmm. The beauty of a sports property is the experience and who you are, it's so much more tangible. If you're doing social media for a food brand, say, you kind of have to make that out of thin air, because at the core, Pringles are just potato chips. Their tonality and their brand identity is completely cultivated in a boardroom. Mm-hmm. A sports organization, you experience that in hockey 40 plus times a year, or in baseball 81 plus times a year when you're playing at home. It was fun to see that, hey, let's take this energy and this fun and translate to where people are, and people where people are having conversations. And the beauty of sports is people crave our products so much, and people want to be part of conversations, want to know the athletes, they want to know everything that goes on behind the walls. And I credit the people like the Kings and the Blue Jackets for kind of being pioneers and saying, hey, let's be active parts of this conversation and do the legwork to really form these genuine relationships with fans. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's relationship building, and that's more important than anything else we do.
And I love the aspect you took there too, with it's really about the experience and making that experience come to life and showing how much fun it is. I mean, I think that it dovetails perfectly into minor league baseball, where a lot of folks I talk to in MILB and even independent baseball, it's we want fans to walk out not necessarily caring about the score, but just really walking out that you might want them to root for the home team still, of course, but it's more about having fun no matter what. And that's really what minor league baseball sells more than anything. I'll let you tell that story though, but I do want to hear, you come to MILB, they're trying to really get their social media marketing going from, I guess, either a centralized perspective or helping to improve that of all of their clubs that they oversee. So tell me a little about what that role was, how it was positioned, what your charge was early on, and just ultimately like what you did those first few months and what you were in charge of.
So the best part about starting in this new position was the fact that it was a completely open book, and I could craft it into whatever I wanted it to be. The worst part about starting a new position was it was a completely open book and I could craft it to whatever I wanted it to be. It's very sobering to take on a property with this much history and this much impact. I mean, over 41 million fans come to our games every year.
Wow.
And it's, you know, a pretty monumental task to even just be introspective and think about, you know, who are we? What do we serve? You know, what do people experience when they interact with our product? And how do we take what's happening on our 160 teams and 160 markets and reflect that into a social strategy for both our national platforms and for our teams?
Mm-hmm.
And what we ended up doing was just, again, it just kind of doing a self audit about who we are. So Neil, the next time you go to a minor league baseball game, I want you to stand at the exits. I want you to ask people three questions. What was the final score? Who was the visiting team? And tell me one thing you remember from the night. I will put my next paycheck that 80% of fans will not be able to answer those first two questions, but everyone's going to tell you something they remember from the night. They're going to remember, you know, getting a good beer. They're going to remember taking a picture with the mascot. They're going to remember their kids getting a high five from a player. We are not in the baseball business. We are in the memory making business.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that baseball is important. It's obviously in our name. It's the core tenet of who we are. But we have to, what we realize is we have to be different about the way we approach it. We have to, for lack of a better term, be picky. You know, you might remember that a home run was hit. You know, there were fireworks going off. The crowd was cheering. There was a horn going off. You remember that a home run was hit. Yeah, you couldn't tell you what the score was or, you know, who the player was that hit it. But you remember there was a home run.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we realized was, hey, there's room in our story for talking about baseball and talking about the next generation of prospects coming up and you know, for their rise to glory in Major League Baseball. And there's room for those stories, but we need to be so much more holistic in the story we tell. Because a minor league baseball experience is so expansive. It's the food, it's the camaraderie, it's the community, it's the uniforms, it's the promotions, it's the interactivity with and access to players. We wanted to implement a social strategy and a content strategy and a tonality strategy that accurately reflected all the hard work and all the amazing innovation that our 160 teams are putting on the ground floor every single day.
Really well put. I love all of that. And it gives me goosebumps just hearing you articulate it too. And I always love when people can articulate that strategy and that brand and what they're trying to do. And it's not just, yeah, we create whatever viral content and memes and stuff. But I'm curious, like, who is the audience for MILB's national channels? I mean, are you trying to talk to the fans of the Lansing Lugnuts as much as you are the Rocket City Trash Pandas, or is there a certain type of fan that's going to follow MILB, and do you even care? Are you more focused on, I'd rather them than follow and be engaged with the clubs on their level, and MILB is just kind of, you know, more of an amplifier or a gatekeeper of some of the best of?
So you described it pretty well. We do definitely just act as an amplifier or a curator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of the day, I don't work in a ballpark. I work in an office.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job to be in 160 places at once and keep tabs on 160 teams and amplify really these best moments. In terms of the audience we're trying to reach, we are fighting, I don't want to say fighting is a strong word. We are faced with a hyper-localization problem in minor league baseball. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, so I love going to Columbus Clippers games. Went there all the time as a kid and even as an adolescent, as an adult. Loved being out in the sun, being with my loved ones, drinking a cold beer. You love the ballpark and love everything about it. And so I am an established Columbus Clippers fan, you know, and the definition of fan varies. I might care about baseball, I might just care about the beer. But I'm a Columbus Clippers fan. Now, how do we get me in Columbus, Ohio, to care about what's going on in Corpus Christi, Texas, and the Corpus Christi Hooks?
Mm-hmm.
We face a bit of a gap in getting our local fans to be brand advocates for minor league baseball. You know, with a lot of the major leagues, you know, say the NBA, you know, you might not be a hardcore Milwaukee Bucks fan, but if you see, you know, Giannis taking off from the free throw line and dunking, all right, well, I'm a basketball fan. I'm an NBA fan. I'm going to interact with that content or sit, you know, take 2 seconds to stop my scroll and watch it. And that is what is making these major leagues so popular, that they're just able to cultivate popularity because of the totality of what their product offers. What we want to get to is connecting more of our local fans to say, hey, you love the Lansing Lugnuts, but hey, there's so much more that minor league baseball has to offer, you know, beyond just your local team. And that's why we want to implement a strategy that appeals to every walk of fan. We want to be inclusive in the discrepancy between on-field content and off-field content. You know, sometimes highlights work, sometimes it's our mascots putting on skits and pranks and all the off-field antics that go on. You know, we have to be a lot stricter about the baseball content we share. You know, if we post a highlight, that should be the kind of highlight that I don't care if you're a, you know, Braves fan or a Cardinals fan, you see a guy diving over the wall for a catch. Oh, that's a great piece of content. That's something that's going to appear on SportsCenter that night. And you know, those are the moments that we want to connect with. So, you know, we firmly believe that, you know, minor league baseball is for everybody. Regardless of your socioeconomic background, race, religion, sexual orientation, you know, 81% of Americans live within a minor league baseball market, and it is financially attainable to come to our games. So we want to talk to as many people as possible and really be that beacon for community gathering and you know, safe, affordable entertainment.
I love that. And I think, too, like, I love the idea that, yeah, we want to identify these baseball plays and highlights that can transcend, that anyone that's a sports fan or even not a sports fan can appreciate an incredible diving catch, a home run that goes 450 feet, whatever it may be. But then also, on the same token, anyone, any fan, any person on social media can appreciate seeing a wacky contest or a mascot race that went awry, or any number of promotions and things as well. So you have this ability to appeal to very much a national audience, even if they, you know, couldn't name one player or even, you know what state a city is in for a given minor league club. And I think also, like, first off, I want to hear what's your process like for even being able to curate all that? Like, are you can't monitor that many games every single day, and let alone the stuff that happens off the field. So are you just trying, is it a matter of just keeping track of Twitter lists, using CrowdTangle to see what's really resonating with a local fan base and then amplifying it? Like, how do you go about trying to find that content that's worth amplifying out to the national audience?
Well, first, we're investing in a cloning program to hopefully get me out to as many ballparks as possible. Until that comes to fruition, you rattled off a handful of technology. Obviously, your employer in Greenfly, we are loyal members. Love Greenfly. Love being able to have access to
checks in the mail.
our connections on the ground. CrowdTangle has been a great asset, though the lack of a Twitter connection these days is bumming me out a little bit.
Yep.
But still a great tool. Twitter lists are great, but above any kind of technology is relationships. I have 160 plus friends at the clubs. I do my best to form relationships with as many of these social contacts as possible and be an asset for them, be a champion for them, help them out, and be a guiding light for them. Because at the end of the day, I work for the clubs. Minor league baseball pays my bills, but I work for the clubs. So I'm so heavily invested in their success. And by doing so, I hope to form relationships with these people so that, hey, you know, I'm a trustworthy source for these. You know, when you have a moment that's worthy of national amplification, you can trust me to, you know, package that out and amplify it from our platforms accordingly. I think our shining example, I visited our team in Portland, Maine two seasons ago now, Portland Sea Dogs, AA affiliate of the Boston Red Sox. So I visited them for a game and, say hey to everyone, kind of get a face of the name or face of the email, yeah. And about 2 weeks later, after returning, their mascot, Slugger, reenacted the Dirty Dancing lift dance at the end. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I had no idea this was happening. No idea, you know, it was even a thing. This is what Slugger did. And so their contact said, hey, here, we have this video for you if you want it. I'm like, yes, I do want it. posted on our across multiple platforms, mm-hmm. including Facebook, about 27 million impressions, I think.
Wow.
That accumulated organically. And that's because of, I took the time to form a relationship. So you form those relationships and you stay as planned as possible. And I think you're on your way. I always like to say there are two kinds of content in our world. There's the stuff you can prepare for and there's the stuff you can't prepare for. So we do our best to prepare for the content that we know is coming. Mm-hmm. Those promos or military reunions or first pitches or skits, things that we know are happening, and get our cameras placed accordingly. And then when we're ready to go for the prepared content, that's when these unexpected moments, a German Shepherd running on the field in Tulsa or girl running on the field in Charleston, like we're ready for those moments, and those moments matter too.
It sounds like so much fun, just always like so much content to always monitor and fun stuff that just comes out of nowhere and fun stuff you can plan for as well. Do you find that there are certain best practices or ideas or tactics that work well across the board, and then you also have to balance that with the fact that the fans of the Rivercats are different than fans of the Aqua Sox, and there's these market changes as well that you have to take into account. So like balancing sort of the stuff that's going to work well on Instagram right now versus the stuff that's more targeted toward your fans, your audience, and your locale.
Well, that's kind of the fun thing about developing out the national platforms is really trying to create so many more touch points and developing new swaths of fans. Yeah, you're right. A lot of developing strategies has kind of been testing and seeing and figuring out what content works on particular platforms. What works on Instagram that might not work on Facebook, what mm-hmm. works on TikTok might not work on Twitter. And so it's just about realizing the content we have, figuring out how to package it accordingly according to the platform, and delivering it in a way that is appealing to as broad of an audience as possible. We never want to be narrow-minded in the approach that we have. We never want to talk to a really niche group of individuals, because that's not what minor league baseball is about. We're
right.
It all ties back to us being inclusive and welcoming of all people. So we want to be expansive and package things out the correct way.
And as far as being a resource for all the clubs and helping to curate some of those best practices or some of those good ideas that people may be able to emulate or make their own or adapt, are you trying to do that with whether it's email newsletters or Slack, just sharing some stuff that, hey, this is something cool that this team did. It may work for you, but it may not work for you.
As informal as it may seem, we have a Facebook group of about 350 content creators across minor league baseball, social mm-hmm. media folks, marketing folks, communications folks. And as easy and low production value as that is, it's been an incredibly helpful resource just to connect people mm-hmm. and to share ideas and give attaboys and kind of establish ourselves as a center of excellence. But above all else, honestly, I've never worked for a minor league baseball team, as we've established, and mm-hmm. it's really beneficial just to connect people with each other. I maintain there's no better, more innovative group of people in sports than minor league baseball. You're talking about a group of teams and organizations that vary so vastly in amount of resources mm-hmm. and market size and stadium quality. And every single one of these teams brings a fresh new set of ideas to the table, and it is honestly awe-inspiring to see how teams progress and engage their fans. So, I might have some good ideas and might be a little bit more technically precise and spend more time on social. But I'm really interested in getting these teams together. And, when you have that many smart people in one room or, in our case, one Facebook group, it's amazing what can come out of it.
Well, I'm sure what a fun Facebook group that must be. And one of the questions I need to save for maybe our quick hitting segment, I would love to I'm not expecting you to do it because it would take forever, but I'm wondering if somehow you could rattle off all 160 minor league teams without cheating. That'd be a hell of a feat.
I could do it. I just don't think your listeners would let me.
For the next 15 minutes, Brad will be reciting every minor league baseball team in the greater United States. Oh gosh.
Well, I will say it is because I know every team where they're located, who they're affiliated with, what their level is. And it does turn into a fun party trick at times. I'll meet somebody out and about, and yeah, they mention they're from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Oh yeah, the Altoona Curve. You head out to any of their games, and definitely good icebreaker. I tell my wife all the time, some people in this world are their minds are filled with information about medicine or engineering, and they're building bridges. And mine is filled with minor league baseball. That's what I contribute to the world.
Do you find that are the fans of each of the minor league clubs, are they generally also fans of the affiliates? Do they then watch these players grow up and graduate to the major league level, or is it more so the case that they're fans of this team, this location, and they're more fans of the Curve than they are of the affiliate?
Well, that's the interesting thing, because the answer is it's complicated. It depends on the market. It depends on again, we've established that there are so many different levels of fandom. We like to say, the older gentleman sitting behind home plate keeping score is just as much of a fan in our eyes as a little kid rolling around in right field with chocolate ice cream all over his face. And honestly, there are probably more kids rolling around with chocolate ice cream all over their face. I think it depends on location. I think you look at a situation like the Pawtucket Red Sox seem to be the Worcester Red Sox. It's a market that's very heavily Red Sox as is, and you do see a lot of connection between people watching these guys come up in Triple A Pawtucket and eventually move on to Boston. Toledo's another great example. They're affiliated with the Detroit Tigers right away, or that are very, very, very nearby, I should say. So you have a lot of crossover there. You do have some cases in, I'd say the Greenville Drive or in South Carolina are a Red Sox affiliate, and sometimes you'll see people in that neck of the woods be a fan of the Red Sox because, hey, they grew up watching a Red Sox affiliate. So you see that sometimes, and then you see, the Washington Nationals AAA affiliates in Fresno, California. Probably not a whole lot of connections you can make there, but, those people who go to the Grizzlies games are still, fans going to the ballpark and seeing these guys. So it's a wide spectrum of markets and teams and, the relationships between these teams and their major league affiliates, it's all different. It differs. Sometimes it influences, sometimes it doesn't. But we're here to serve all fans and get them interested any way we can.
And what's interesting too is that you can market the players, but the players are meant to come and go. That's by design. So you really have to be a fan of the experience, the stadium, the team. And you started out, you worked with the Blue Jackets, they had Rick Nash, you worked with the Saints, they had Drew Brees, and it was really a lot of player, it could be more player-centric, whereas in minor league baseball, if you're a star player, well, you're ticketed, you're not going to be there too long, that's the idea, and so you really have to, market that experience and that brand more. Do you find that teams, and even you guys yourselves, are you trying to really, hold up those players that are killing it in minor league baseball because that's going to drive a lot of engagement, or is it still, do you try not to push the players so much to the top of the platform because, they're going to be gone tomorrow?
Well, I think that's where an opportunity to talk to major league fans comes into fruition. I think we have a problem where, Adley Rutschman, he's a catcher with the Baltimore Orioles. He was the number one overall pick, number four prospect in baseball right now. He gets a stud. He can hit the crap out of the ball. He, granted his position, he's going to be a star for the Orioles. So we didn't want to have a case where, all right, he gets drafted by the Orioles, and then, all right, well, we'll see you in 2.5 years when you get up to the show. There's a lot of time for us to fill in that gap and start to build these guys up and get their major league fan bases excited. We want to hone in on these top guys and talk to their major league fan bases and let them know how these guys are coming along or if they're moving up and down, share content. And it really resonates with these fans. We've seen it with Adley Rutschman. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year before he got called up. That was, I think every social media manager has that well they could always go to. For me, it was, Vlad Jr. last year. and getting Blue Jays fans just so amped up. So in a case like that, yeah, you're right. It could be a little tougher on the team side because, hey, we'll promote a prospect if we have him for a while. And obviously still, connect these players with fans and communities and take advantage of the access that minor league baseball offers. But for these top guys, really, especially from our national standpoint, we're talking to major league fans. And getting them excited for the future that is on the horizon.
And are you guys then trying to do that storytelling of, I mean, not just the star players, but a lot of the players? And is that more going back to what we started off talking about, more, you know, reposting or amplifying or adding to what the teams are already producing, doing their own storytelling? Or are you guys also seeking out opportunities to do your own content, your own storytelling with MILB's resources?
Both. Obviously, it's always good to see what the teams are up to and figuring out their unique ways to take advantage of amplifying these guys while they have them. Our editorial team at MLB Advanced Media and our team here, we're always looking for new ways to showcase how these guys are doing. If that's illustratively and through stat graphics or highlight compilations, if that's our editorial team piecing together interviews or stories or grabbing quote graphics about these guys and their performances. It's a team effort. I always say that the best part about minor league baseball is we have 160 teams, and the worst part is that we have 160 teams. It's a lot of things to keep track of, and I think it's all a community effort to just try to stay on top of as many things as possible. It's a task, but it's a fun thing to keep track of.
So many great stories to tell too, and you guys do have that national fan base. You do have the opportunity to engage so many markets, and I'd love to hear how partnerships comes into play. Then is MLB selling national partnerships for the social media content that you're producing? And how has that come together? How has that come together since you started there?
Yeah, that's actually evolved in a pretty drastic way, even just over the past calendar year or so. Essentially, when we approach national partners and form these strategic relationships, obviously every brand is looking for that next big media wave, the next great thing that's going to allow them to integrate into our world. Mm-hmm. And so when we have these conversations with brands, what we establish right up front is, hey, I will never attach a partner to a piece of content that I would not post on my own. It has to be our standard of excellence and our standard of performance before we put a partner on it. Because mm-hmm. our fans are very good at sniffing out inauthenticity. And these partnerships are clearly ads or just, taking up space on our platforms. And so we take it on a partner by partner basis. First thing we do is always, understand the partner and their KPIs and what they're really trying to get out of the partnership, and we build around that. Some people are, more interested in gathering data and building up their database. Enter to win contests or voting platforms mm-hmm. or things where we can gather emails that might work for them. Other maybe competitor brands. We have a partner in Guardian Home Protection. That's in a pretty cluttered home security industry. They're looking for awareness. They're looking for direct fan engagement. So we create platforms that help them achieve that KPI. Mm-hmm. And it's really just figuring out what the customer, figuring out what the partner wants, I should say, and figuring out how that aligns in our world. And we've become a lot more robust and integrated in making that happen. And it's been a pleasure. And I think it showcases how social and content and digital, we are working towards the same goal here. We're here to make money. We're a business, and we are here to, put these partners in a good spot and align them with all the fun that we're having. And by getting us in the process a lot earlier, we're able to, have mutually beneficial activations and content pieces. And I'm really excited to kind of keep this momentum going upward.
Yeah, I hope anyone that is coming up in the space or working in the space takes that to heart, that you want to focus on what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish, and ultimately a bad piece of sponsored content or something that feels just like an ad doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the partner, it doesn't help you guys, it certainly doesn't help the fans. And you want an opportunity where everyone can win, for sure. Just a couple more minutes left here with Brad Friedman, social media marketing manager for Minor League Baseball. We'll have this episode's shareable stat in just a second, but there's way too much still for us to talk about. I'll try to have us done here quickly, I do want to hear, you know, what you're paying attention to as a new season's about to kick off. Or are you guys looking at going into YouTube? Are you playing around on TikTok more? Are you looking at more long form content, short form, more music, more filters, AR? What's kind of on the horizon for you guys as you look ahead to, you know, continue to grow the social media strategy for MLB?
Right. I'd say two big areas of focus. One is being TikTok. We launched in the heart of the off season. I think we launched in October, November, and we've built up. I mean, closing on 100,000 followers here, probably by the time anyone listens, we'll be at that mark. And a lot of our team, about several dozen of our teams, have hopped aboard too, and you know, giving us some acumen and access during the off season. And really excited to continue to build that out. And we've seen a ton of potential for just general brand awareness and connection there, and especially from a national standpoint. That's really what we're after. You know, we talk about connecting the local fans to the national brand. So really excited to continue to build that out. We've had a lot of success on the platform. And then, yeah, I think, you know, long form content in the sense of, you know, kind of reimagining the way we package out, you know, these on and off field moments, and, you know, being more imaginative than just, you know, taking a piece of content and cutting it up and hitting send. How do we incorporate that into a broader story? You know, we have, you know, for instance, we have several bat dogs around minor league baseball who fetch bats and greet fans.
Yeah,
you know, it's great to, you know, it's great to post a video or a photo of one of those bat dogs, but how do we combine that? You know, how do we have a content surrounding all the bat dogs in minor league baseball and you know, telling a broader story? So I think, you know, approaching long form content in a way that's just, you know, packaging out all the many amazing moments we have in a smarter way.
Yeah, I mean, it's an everyday challenge, I'm sure, to think about all the volume that you have at your disposal, but then also making sure that you're doing, you know, presenting everything in a thoughtful manner and how you can best package it for each platform. Last one for you, Brad. I always love this question. I wanted to make sure we squeeze this one in. Tell me, take me inside a day in the life of Brad Friedman, you know, during the baseball season when you have so many clubs playing. What are you doing? What's your situation like? And what's that day in the life of?
Yeah, I mean, especially during the course of the season, it's working with our editorial team and social team in Major League Baseball as well, who helps with day-to-day operations. Yeah, I mean, it really just kind of takes a look at you know, what's going on today, who's been called up, who had a great performance last night, you know, what promos are going on tonight. And again, kind of taking advantage of these controllable variables and planning out, you know, hey, this is what we can expect. And then, you know, once games get going, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock Eastern time, it's just kind of keeping an eye on what's going on and being in touch with our contacts on the ground level and you know, keeping our eyes glued to Twitter and, you know, waiting for those unexpected moments to come through and, you know, just trying to identify what can break through on a national level and what can really resonate. And, you know, we do that for, you know, from April 9th until, you know, September. It's hectic. It's a lot of information, a lot of content coming through, but it's really an embarrassment of riches of all the amazing things our teams have to offer on and off the field.
Just so much fun. I mean, that's the, like you said, the beauty of it, and also the difficulty of it is there's so much going on. You're never short on content. You're never short on good stories to tell, but it's also just so much to take in and digest and try to pick out and curate what's worth iterating upon and what's worth putting out on the national platforms. It's a labor of love, I'm sure, and it's a lot of fun, and I know you're ready to do it again as we head into spring here.
Yeah, I got bored of the offseason a little while ago, so I'm ready to get going.
Plenty more to come, and we'll some more fun coming up with Brad, because we're going to have our extra inning segment coming right up, but first episode's Terrible Stat, we'll be right back with that. Really great chatting with Brad Friedman, social media manager for Minor League Baseball. So much fun, so many good stories from him. I could talk to him all day. It's been cool to follow his career. He's doing a great job there at MILB, and we'll have some more fun with Brad coming up in our extra innings segment, but first, this episode's Shareable Stat. This episode's Shareable Stat looks at the recent trends in podcasts as everyone is now quarantined and not going through a commute all the time, not necessarily going out and waiting places, waiting on the subway, waiting on the bus. And the stat that we're sharing is that sports podcasts in the month of March, according to PodTrack, are down 13% in as far as listeners. Not a terribly high number in terms of the drop compared to some of the non-sports categories. you know, people might still be fitting in their audio podcast somehow, whether that means when they're on a walk, when they're on a jog, when they're just sitting around, when they're at work, even trying to concentrate on podcasts and work at the same time while they work remotely. But certainly it's something to keep in mind as you're planning content for the next few months. You know, that stuff that fits along a long period of time, like when you have time to kill, like a commute, isn't necessarily the way to go right now. People are looking to lean in, and maybe they can do so with audio content. Maybe there is an audio component, a long-form audio content piece that goes with video that you have on YouTube. But ultimately, it's considering that stat should have you sit back and think, what are people doing now, and how can we fit our content into their lives? You know, if they're not on the go as much, they are sitting at home, do they want to do something that's going to allow them to interact with people that are around them, like their family or their roommates or their close friends? Is there co-viewing that could happen? Can you be doing Facebook watch parties to certain pieces of content and showing people how to do that? Going on Twitch, thinking about, you know, long-form content and people that may want to watch some long-form content on their smart TVs or on their desktop or laptop or their tablet because they're sitting at home and they have nothing else to do. So it's really important to consider the context of the content being created and fit it into those user behaviors that are taking place every day, because 13% is the decrease in sports podcasts in the month of March as this coronavirus has caused us all to stay at home, according to a recent study. So stick around, though, because we're coming right back for some extra innings with Brad Friedman of Minor League Baseball. Right back from this episode's shareable stat, and I'm joined once again on the podcast by Brad Friedman, social media marketing manager for Minor League Baseball. Brad, you're round to the bases, had an awesome inning in that interview. Are you now ready for some extra innings?
Let's hit it.
All right. Number one, I want you to tell me, sum up in like 3 to 5 words each, you know, what it was like working each of those major pro sports that you did, and any sort of major takeaways from each of them. Because very different sports, different schedules, different brands. So just tell me the quick lessons.
Yeah, quick lessons I'll run through. Blue Jackets, I came in at a very exciting time. You know, fresh off a playoff appearance, and really got to, you know, ride the wave of momentum. So I'd say, you know, Blue Jackets was really about riding momentum and you know, cutting my teeth and learning what the industry is all about. The crew in MLS and soccer really got in touch with the community. Soccer is such a community-based sport and really thrives off the people. And I've learned so much about the value of fans and people who invest so much energy and time into an organization, and really learning what sports are all about, and learned a tremendous amount from the crew. Mm-hmm. From the Saints, I mean, it's the Saints, man. it was fun to see, to work for an organization that is the lifeblood of that city. I mean, New Orleans has so rich in history and so rich in the people it you know, that live in within city limits. The Saints really taught me the value of, you know, what an organization can do to stand for a community and a city in the face of, you know, whatever it is a community might be going through. I learned so much from, you know, being a part of that organization and feeling the love that the Saints and had to offer. On the Pelican side too, you know, working on with an organization that continues to grow and it continues to establish its roots, and you really become one of New Orleans's favorite sons and daughters, and really form a connection with the city. And then Minor League Baseball, you know, it's the soul of America. And Vancouver, of course, our friends up there, but it's the soul of so many communities, and it's a home of safe gathering and affordable entertainment and connections. And what I've learned most from this gig is, you know, the value of connections and the value of just being around people and, you know, putting things aside and just enjoying the moment. It's been such a pleasure to be a part of.
My heart is warmed by all that response. That just, and I love that you were able to pick out some good lessons from each of those places, the very distinct things that you learned along the way and got to where you are today. Number two, this is going to be maybe the hardest question. So you're allowed to name a few, but you can't name all of them. Tell me, if I'm going to check out the social media for one or more, one or a few MLB clubs, whose social media do we all need to check out and why?
Oh, come on, man. I can't play politics. I got to play politician, man. I can't pick out a favorite.
I'll let you play the fifth.
No, I will say, you know, I'll give a few shout-outs, I would say. I think you know, our friends in Hartford, Hartford Yargos, Danielle Shalinsky there does a great job really capturing the tonality of minor league baseball and the fun of what we have to offer. As their friends in Myrtle Beach do a fantastic job in the same realm of tonality and really understanding their experience. My guy, Evan Moesta with the Carolina Mudcats, really holistically understands you know, what social media is all about and what makes this organization tick. And I guess adding on a couple too, our friends in Indianapolis and Durham, North Carolina, also really well-rounded, excellent follows.
Some excellent ones there. I've definitely seen all of those come across my feeds, and just it's so much fun checking out all those lists and seeing who's doing cool stuff, because it's really great stuff every single day. Number three for you, Brad. Another tough one, but a fun one. The wackiest or zaniest or craziest, whatever adjective you want to use, the wackiest MILB promotion you've come across in your time with MILB so far.
Oh man. You know, it's funny you ask this because I get very jaded to this. I see all these amazing ideas come through, and I don't even think about it. If I had to, a couple that come to mind, our team in Pensacola, Florida, is on April 20th, so 420, is hosting a legalized marinara night, where they're going to, you know, advocate for pasta sauce and all the great things that come along with that. our team in Charleston, South Carolina, Nate Curran, who heads up their promotions, it's hard to even keep track of all the... Oh, yeah, all right, I have an answer for you. You can cut this out. Mm-hmm. I got an answer for you. So our team in Charleston, South Carolina, really innovative team, you know, try to curry favor with fans. They had a fan leave a one-star review on Google and said, just drove by. It was a one-star review and just completely random. Her name was Helen McGuckin, and I'm not making that up. Mm-hmm. So the River Dogs obviously wouldn't stand for this. They wanted to give Helen the night she deserved and improve her experience. So they put on an entire Helen McGuckin night.
Oh, wow.
An entire night dedicated to Helen, and the goal was to get her to the game and completely you know, change her view on the River Dogs and give the River Dogs 5 stars. And we are talking specialized shirts, advertisements leading up to the game, a specialized seat in the front row, a dedicated intern who would fan her and bring her drinks. I mean, literally the you know, VIP experience, the works. Unfortunately, all ironies, Helen was unable to attend. She initially committed, but then backed out. But this, the fact that they, you know, were willing to put on an entire night just to take advantage of that one moment. Man, if that doesn't represent minor league baseball and going the extra mile to please our fan, I don't know what does.
That is amazing. I just want to spend one day in, like, the marketing meetings or promotion meetings for any MLB club. Just must be so much fun. There's no such thing as a crazy idea. They're all worth time talking about, and that's a fun one right there.
Yeah, it's especially fun when we get drinks involved and talk about it. It's amazing.
I love it. Next one for you, I want to go back to your time with the Saints, spending a year there. The most memorable day or most memorable game from your season with the Saints?
I would say, the most memorable moment, I would say, so I grew up a massive New Orleans Saints fan. So my mom is from New Orleans, and even though I grew up in Ohio, love the Saints, watch every game. Drew Brees, obviously one of my favorite athletes, and, you know, unfortunately had the chance to go to New Orleans to see a game. Mm-hmm. By the time I got to New Orleans, I was pretty, you know, indebted in the, or pretty close to the sports world, so I didn't really, you know, obviously I love my job. I've gotten away from the I worked in sports,
right?
I got to do all these cool things. Like that had kind of worn off, except for the first time I ever walked into the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Wow, that was a crazy experience. I spent my entire life loving that team, watching that team, and the first game, it was a preseason game. It wasn't even a regular season game. Mm-hmm. Just walking onto the field, I just took 5 minutes just to look around, just to soak it all in. you know, call my wife, and really just get a, you know, kind of just realize, hey, I'm here. You know, I did this. After that, I snapped out of it and I got back to work. But that was a really humbling moment, just getting to that place.
That's so cool. I always tell people, and I said this, I think, earlier as well, that, you know, it's a grind being in sports, long days, working nights, working holidays. And sometimes you got to make sure you step back and stop and smell the roses, because it's really cool what you get to do. And I'm glad you got to have that moment. It's super cool to hear about it.
Absolutely.
Number five, if you could magically just master a skill that's relevant to your job, just flip a switch and you're all of a sudden an expert at something, what would it be and why?
Oh boy, where do I begin? If I had to pick one, I would probably say motion design. Mm-hmm. And that could be parlayed into design as a whole. But man, I think we are being challenged as creatives to present our information and our stories in much more innovative, visually appealing ways. And I'm lucky to be supported by an incredible brand development team here at Minor League Baseball that has made my life a lot easier and brought my ideas to life. But man, I would love to flip the switch and just be an After Effects master and just, you know, really take our storytelling to the next level.
Heck yeah. I think everyone's looking for those motion designers, especially. It seems like those folks are a dime a dozen right now, and are not diamonds. Mm-hmm. They're worth their weight in gold, it seems like. All right, next one for you, Brad. Another tough one here. This is supposed to be the easy part of the interview, but apparently these are just tough questions that I came up with. The minor league baseball city or ballpark that you most want to visit. What's on that the MILB bucket list for you?
Oh, that I most want to visit that I have not visited yet.
Feel free to share a cool one you visited too. We love the stories here.
Well, in terms of one I want to visit, so I have 31 under my belt, and I have 100. What's the math there? 128 to go. I got some work to do. luckily, hitting the road again this year. I don't know. I have to play politician here, just because every team, every experience is so wildly different, and every stadium is different. Every new group of employees is different. It's hard. You know, I have a lot of folks I'd love to go see. You know, I hear our friends in Indianapolis, their field's a really special place to go watch a ball game. I hear our friends in Daytona, Florida, the historic Jackie Robinson connection. They have a ton of history there. Would love to see a ball game there. So many. And I guess the places I've visited so far, yeah, I'm a homer. Love Huntington Park in Columbus, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I gotta give a shout out though to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps in Indiana. Wow, that is an incredible place to witness spend a summer night. A place that really just checks off a lot of boxes, and was an incredible experience. So I gotta give love to Fort Wayne.
I like that. All right, we gotta make our way up to Fort Wayne and see a ball game. Really cool.
Absolutely.
All right, how about outside minor league baseball, a team that does a great job on social media, and why?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Ohio State Athletics. They have, and obviously it's credit to the broader, content team. As anyone knows, a social media manager is supported by a massive team. I'd say Ohio State Athletics, they have such a strong visual identity, and they really hammer into it, and they know how to build up their athletes, and they know how to tell a story in just an innovative ways and ways that people actually care about. And that's a brand that, no matter what, people are going to love Ohio State football and Ohio State athletics. But they still continue to push the envelope and never settle for just being a one-way form of communication. They do the legwork to really enhance their athletic program and their athletes, and I think they deserve a ton of credit.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's always just constantly churning out some incredible content that they do there, and in a number of formats too, not just one way or the other. It's great one there to call out. And how about time for our food question? If I come down there to St. Pete and visit you, where are you gonna take me to get food? What's the best meal to get? Where am I gonna get it with you?
St. Pete is a food haven and also a craft brew haven. So after we get dinner, I'm taking you on a brewery tour. It's a bit of a regional place, a couple around the south, but Hawkers, Asian Street Fair. It's always the go-to move. Always leaves me happy. And a lot of craft beer on tap. I took my wife there after we proposed, and I was so nervous that I hadn't eaten the entire day, and I plowed through about the entire menu. So it was a great day. But I say Hawkers, and then we go on a World Brewery Tour.
Beauty. What kind of food are Hawkers exactly? You said it's Asian fare?
Yeah, Asian street fare, a lot of small plates, soups, noodles, various different appetizers. I think everyone has that one place that you love, but you also try new places. Mm-hmm. But then when you and your friend or significant other can't agree on where you want to go, you just go to this place. For my wife and I, it is Hawkers.
All right. We'll have to share a meal or sometime. It sounds good to me. I like those small plates. All right.
Come on down.
Hell yeah. Number nine, this is going to be a fun one. Always good to ask. The most popular piece of content that MILB has posted in your time there so far?
Yes, that would belong to Taylor Davis. So Taylor Davis is a catcher in the Cubs organization. I believe he has been up in the majors, mostly as a backup catcher, but he has been up in the majors. So 2017, my first season, he was spent most of his time in AAA Iowa in Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know who Taylor Davis is, he is this very scraggly looking, he's a catcher. He's kind of a stocky guy, didn't really color his hair, big scraggly beard, a really goofy looking dude. And he had a habit of always finding a camera and staring into it. No matter, he could be walking to the pitcher's mound, he could be in the dugout, he always found a camera and it always stare right into it. And just, it's amplified by his just kind of goofy look. I mean, he's a big, scrawny guy, and he would just always find the camera and make faces at it. So an intern in Iowa spent about an hour slicing together all of the looks to cameras he gave throughout the season, and put the song "You Can't Take My Eyes Off of You" behind it. So Iowa was nice enough to share it with us. Posted on Facebook, about 65 million uniques reached, I think.
Oh, wow.
About 110 million impressions, somewhere in that neighborhood. If I posted that August 2017, if I go back to my computer and check out the notifications, I guarantee people are still commenting on it to this day.
That is incredible. Wow. I wasn't sure what the answer would be there. I was thinking maybe Tim Tebow, but that's amazing. I think you got to repurpose that and put something like that on TikTok now. That sounds like a tailor-made for TikTok.
We have used and abused Taylor Davis. Trust me. He is the gift that keeps on giving.
That's awesome. All right. Last one for you, Brad. Tell me the minor league baseball players whose name we're going to really know well by the time the season ends.
Gosh, there are a lot of guys coming up. I'm going to say Casey Mize, number four prospect in the game, the Detroit Tigers pitcher. He ended last year with an injury, but assuming he is healthy, depending on how the Tigers are doing, the kid is unbelievable. I think he had a 0.8 ERA in AA, zoomed right up the minors, and I'd imagine he probably starts in AAA next year, probably gets up to the show, and the dude's incredible, and Tigers fans should be very, very, very excited for him to get up.
Definitely a good one to watch. I remember watching him at Auburn, and he's going to be a hell of a pitcher. That's a good one.
Absolutely.
To call out.
Yeah, he's incredible. He is incredible.
All right, Brad, your chance now to take over the podcast. You had a walk-off there in the extra inning segment. Now tell us your social media all-star to follow. Someone on Twitter, doesn't have to be, though, who they are and why they're worth following.
A lot of great folks out there to mention. I'm going to give a shout out to my good friend Kelsey Steele. Mm-hmm. Kelsey Steele over the United Soccer League. Good friend of mine, classmate at Ohio University. Kelsey is definitely a rising star in the social media and sports world. Has gone to the USL for I think about two or so years now. Is really taking the bull by the horns and reshaped the way they do content and social and their tonality, and taking on an emerging league in the United Soccer League, and really giving it an identity, and really she's serving as the front, the outward face of that league right now, and she's doing incredible things, and you should go follow her. I believe her handle is at Kelsey J. Steele. Definitely go give Kelsey a follow.
That's a good one for sure, and she's based down there near you in Florida, right, for the USL?
She sure is, yeah. She's over way across the bridge in Tampa, but good friend. an even better person. So definitely go give her a follow.
Good one to check out for sure. And how about yourself, Brett? Where can we find you, and where do you want to send us to follow MILB on all the digital social channels?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, go follow MILB. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I can be found at BradFriedman713. Love to interact with people and get to know them. A lot of people in this industry that I've yet to meet and would love to make your acquaintance.
Love it. As you guys heard throughout, it's all about network relationships and connecting and learning from each other. Brad is a shining example of that and a shining star in this industry. And just so thankful that we got to pick your brain today as you get ready for another long but exciting and fun season. And I appreciate you coming on the podcast today, Brad.
No, I appreciate you having me. Be well.
And I look forward to meeting up down in Florida or maybe at one of the several minor league ballparks around the country. It should be fun.
It'll be fine. See you soon.
Thanks so much again to Brad Friedman, social media manager for Minor League Baseball. I have no doubt that he will do great when the season starts back up. They're doing a great job right now keeping fans engaged during this tough time. So follow him, follow Minor League Baseball, keep an eye on everything that they and all those clubs are doing because they're just full of creativity, innovation, and you're still seeing it now even as we wait for games to start back up down the road here. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thanks so much for downloading and listening. I hope you enjoyed learning a little bit, thinking about live sports coming back eventually. And thanks for spending time with me. So until next time, you can find the podcast on any podcast platform. Visit the website dsmsports.net for the episodes there and more content. Check me out on LinkedIn and on Twitter at njh287. And until next time, I'll be here in the same place, but we'll come back to you with more content on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.